A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Yahoo Sports Hockey Podcast, Justin Cuthbert hanging out and digesting things in between game 6 and 7 of the first round series between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Pretty unbelievable story being written here, right? Like, if the Maple Leafs are to break through finally after 18 years, after 5 straight seasons of postseason disappointment, after what, 7, 8 consecutive losses with chances to eliminate an opponent in the Matthews and Marner era, they will have to do so against the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champions in a game 7 at Scotiabank Arena on a Saturday night. It is that way because the Leafs lost in overtime in game 6 on Braden Point's overtime winner in the final moments of the first bonus frame at Amalie Arena, giving us what is a familiar result, right? The same result, really, with the Leafs failing in an opportunity to make something happen to erase their past. But despite it being the same results, it's impossible to look at this team and not think that they are different, different, different. This wasn't a case of the Leafs no-showing. In fact, if they weren't the superior, fresher, hungrier, more inspired team throughout those 60 to 80 minutes, I guess, more or less 77, 78, I'm not sure what you were watching. Yes, there were mistakes, but there's mistakes in every hockey game. But rarely do mistakes exclusively go punished. That's kind of what happened for the Leafs in game 6. The Alex Kerfoot drop pass with TJ Brody kind of falling asleep on that 4-on-4. Ilya Mikheyev trying to execute his own zone entry on the power play and having that go back the other way. And yet the Leafs not just answered, but took the lead after falling behind 2-0. And then that phantom penalty, which created the 5-on-3 opportunity, which of course Tampa Bay was going to take advantage of. And yet, aside from the overtime period, because they didn't have that luxury, the Leafs had a response every time something went wrong. They didn't fold like they had previously. It just didn't go their way, which happens from time to time in a hockey game. Further to that, I'm really not sure how you can watch this series evolve over 6 games and not make the determination that the Leafs are starting to separate themselves from the Lightning. With John Tavares scoring twice in game 6 after breaking out in game 5, he's no longer a problem, but a big part of the solution. He's found traction in the series, and that was huge. The Leafs needed that to happen. Matthews and Marner have since dispelled the notion that Anthony Cirelli and Braden Point could shut them down in a head-to-head matchup. They have been productive since the start of this series, with the exception of what, game 4? The fourth line for the Leafs plays sparingly, but is impactful in their minutes. They've been the better fourth line as the series has went on. The defensive corpses rebound. Jack Campbell's been very, very good. The Leafs are clearly the faster team, and that the Lightning are relying on smarts to see them through many tenuous moments. At times, the Leafs have been outclassed, but on balance, it's been the Lightning hanging on and hanging tough. The biggest difference now, though, as we move to a 7th game, is the mental piece, right? Like, the Leafs seem, despite the loss, despite the misfortune, despite everything hanging over the series and everything that has dogged them in the past, they seem exceedingly confident. Keefe says it, but it doesn't seem hollow. Matthews says it. The other players say it. Morgan Riley steps up And it feels like they do believe that they can do this. And I truly do believe that they understand that they are the better team and that they can win. And that is so incredibly important. Because what might be secondary when sort of power ranking the challenges ahead and when assessing the task against a two-time Stanley Cup champion who is perfect in 17 straight games after a loss and doesn't lose when facing elimination, of course, and can win in so many different ways, is the psychological piece. It's only human nature to understand that this could slip away and that there could be consequences associated with that. And yet, even in this strange moment where they do deserve to win, they're in this position again. In reality, though, we are where we thought we would end up, right? We thought if we went into this series that the most likely outcome was that it would go 7 games. And still, I think it should be, despite what we've seen, tough to reconcile. At least it will be in the fan base. Because in game 7, it's the highest possible hurdle. It's the best team we've seen in the salary cap era, plus the immediate and historical context, the demons, the potential consequences, the promises made and promises which don't potentially come through. All of that is being thrown into a vat and stewed and tended to by the hockey gods. It's crazy. What's that thing in Game of Thrones that Cersei uses to blow up Dubrovnik or King's Landing, the wildfire? It's hockey's version of the wildfire from Game of Thrones. It is just so explosive what is bubbling beneath the surface. And yet, if it doesn't go the Leafs' way, which doesn't, again, seem to be this team's expectation, we need to rethink what needs to happen from a managerial standpoint, a hockey operation standpoint, an ownership standpoint. It could still be a no-show in Game 7, which of course would make people think differently, or at least make me think differently. And maybe there are culprits in the end in a Game 7. But despite the notion that's been held all throughout the season that heads would have to roll if the Leafs fail to get past the same point, what we have seen in 6 games versus the Lightning should be validating. It should be validating for Dubas. It should be validating for ownership when assessing the job that Dubas did. It should be validating for Keefe and the players. Everyone should be feeling good about what has happened so far. This team is close. It's the best version of the team that we've seen. Kyle Dubas did do an incredible job, and I think Sheldon Keefe's doing a very good job as well. And to blow it up after a coin flip scenario goes the opposite way would be a horrific decision. It should be validating what we've seen so far. And I mentioned tests, right? There's an immense one in front of the 20 players that'll be on the ice Saturday night. But if it doesn't go well, Dubas's mettle will be tested. The organization's resolve will be tested. Ownership and management's patience will be tested. The Leafs need to be able to take a breath if this doesn't work, to tinker and to not tear down, because this team is good enough to win the Stanley Cup this season. There's a world where that's true. There's a world in which they do that. But there's also a world in a game that is defined by its randomness, that it just doesn't bounce their way. Through 6 games, if one thing is true that we can make a solid determination about, is that this team is different. But because even if this team is different, it doesn't mean that the result is guaranteed to be. It's a tough, tough situation. It couldn't be any bigger. Game 7, Saturday night in Toronto. Fortunately, that won't be the only Game 7. We have 3 minimum, with the possibility of 3 more. And the 3 that are set in stone, along with the Leafs and Lightning, will be played Saturday. It'll be Boston, Carolina as the matinee, and the nightcap will be Edmonton and LA. Those 2 series were both also pushed to its extent, or their extent, on Thursday night. For Boston, Carolina, it's overlap with Toronto. So I don't have as much of a read on it, but the home team dominated in each. With the Kings and Oilers, though, this one's completely out of control. I'm jealous of those who can absorb, or who have been able to absorb, Edmonton, LA without the task of having to write a column about a different series at the exact same time, because that this series is absolutely off the charts. It is so distracting for those who have to write a column about a different series at the exact same time. In Thursday night's game six, it was all about Connor McDavid, of course, as it should be, as the Oilers avoided elimination. Darnell Nurse was suspended, not available to the Oilers on the road. Leon Draisaitl was clearly laboring, although he's going to be an impact player regardless. But McDavid, facing all the pressure that the Maple Leafs are facing in the Toronto media, or Toronto fan base rather, is trying to digest. That's all on the Oilers and McDavid and that organization as well. And yet McDavid steps up, wills his team to victory. He led all skaters in the game, or at least all Oilers skaters, with 24 minutes. He had a goal, two assists, three shots, nine scoring chances individually, and six high danger looks, all for himself. A legendary performance to set up a game seven in Edmonton, which McDavid's teammate Evander Kane described best as juicy. I have to give credit to the Kings. I doubted that they could hang in the series. I didn't think they could be in competitive in a world where Mike Smith wasn't actively giving away games. And he's given away at least one. But Mike Smith, despite those regrettable moments, has also played really, really well. But the Kings, who are built almost exclusively on young talent, aside from the two top centers, Andre Kopitar and Philip Deneau, and netminder Jonathan Quick, have gone toe-to-toe with the Oilers in this series. I remain terrified of the prospects of LA Calgary, or worse, LA Dallas in the second round, only because the possibility of a Battle of Alberta is what's most likely. But LA is a team folks should be looking to get behind. Very, very impressive how they've built this team, what they look like right now. Let's just wait until next season. Last thing here, a bummer. Sidney Crosby is going to miss game six of their first of the Penguins first round series with the New York Rangers after missing the majority of game five after taking a hard shot from Jacob Trouba in open ice. And really, there have been some outstanding performances so far in the postseason, but no injury could have a bigger effect on a series, it seems, because the Penguins were in full control, leaning on an incredible run of form from their captain. I mean, Sidney Crosby, in his four plus games, was simply sensational, dominating the New York Rangers. And that was reflective in the run of play, the scoreboard, everything until his exit. It was all Penguins, despite the fact that they were down to spicy pork and broccoli. But now it seems with Crosby out that the Rangers are live in the series after being almost more outmatched than any other team. And honestly, that even includes the Nashville Predators, who spent a lot of time within, you know, tied in one goal scenarios with Colorado, despite being swept. The Rangers looked worse off. We talk about players' value boosted in times of their absence. We do that a lot with the MVP discussion. Hart Trophy nominees just went out. It's possible that it could not be more true than it is with Crosby right now. After that role reversal in game five. It will be fascinating to see if the New York Rangers can take advantage of the fact that Pittsburgh's captain, Sidney Crosby, could be out for the foreseeable future in what is maybe Crosby and that core's last chance at going on a long postseason run. I mean, it could actually be opening up for them. It's going to be tough regardless for Boston, with Boston and Carolina looming. You know, the Atlantic Division is very tough, but there's a path forward here for Pittsburgh. But only if Sidney Crosby is healthy. Again, three more chances at a game seven with three already in the queue. It's going to be an incredible weekend in the NHL. I guess we need, for the full extent, at least one game seven on Sunday. But three game sevens on a Saturday at this time of year, it could not be any better.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.